The scripture reading this morning is from Matthew 20, verses 1 to 16. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. After he agreed with the workers to pay them a denarian, he sent them into his vineyard. Then he went out around 9 in the morning and saw others standing around the marketplace doing nothing. He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." And they went. Again around noon, and then around 3 in the afternoon, he did the same thing. Around 5 in the afternoon, he went and found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why are you just standing around here doing nothing all day long?" "Because no one has hired us," they replied. He responded, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the worker and give them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired, and then finally moving on to the first." When those who were hired at 5 in the afternoon came, each one received a denarian. Now, when those hired first came, they thought they should receive more. But each of them also received a denarian. When they received it, they grumbled against the landowner. Those who were hired last worked 1 hour, and they received the same pay as we did, even though we worked the whole day in the hot sun. But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I did you no wrong. Didn't I agree to pay you a denarian? Take what belongs to you and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I give to you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with what belongs to me? Or are you resentful because I'm generous?" So those who are last will be first, and those who are first will be last.
I sometimes shake my head and think, who picked this scripture out? And then I remember I did. That's tough scripture. For someone like me who's competitive and likes to keep score and likes to win, tough scripture. I remember my employment at the University of Kentucky well. It was a 7-year tenure beginning back in 1988 through 1995. Imagine a 28-year-old female joining the management ranks of 12 seasoned men. And it would be fair to say that these men were not very diverse. They were all white, very, very conservative leaning, and not happy at all that I was hired to join them. And to make matters even worse, my job was director of human resources for physical plant, which meant that these longtime managers had no choice but to deal with me, because I had to approve all aspects of hiring, dismissal, disciplinary procedures, and training and personnel policies for 750 employees and 110 supervisors. And when I look back, it was a job much bigger than me. But thankfully, I had a supportive director who allowed me to grow into it and cut my teeth. Now, one of the primary responsibilities I had was to ensure that personnel policies and procedures were fairly written and fairly administered across the board without any kind of favoritism or punitive actions. And we know that wages, attendance, and performance are 3 primary aspects of any employment agreement. So making sure that consistent attendance and satisfactory job performance and fair wages were at the forefront of there and my job was very important. So with that background and that memory, reading this morning's scripture passage from Matthew from a contemporary viewpoint of human resource policy, there are some real issues. I could just see those folks lining up for grievances at my door. And I would say that they would come in and say, listen, this is a clear case of a mistaken, malfunctioning time clock. In today's scripture story in Matthew, Jesus is talking to his disciples. Now remember, these disciples had left everything to follow this guy that most were very skeptical about. Some even despised Jesus. Most did. But these guys left everything to follow a way of life very contrary to what their culture expected, and very different from the faith of their family and friends. See, we get comfortable because even though our theologies may differ a little bit, for the most part, we hold the same basic tenets of faith. But that wasn't the case. And so, as we see so many times in the Gospels of Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John, Jesus uses riddles or parables to teach some lessons to these folks. So, in order to get the message, those listening to the teaching have to first break it down. And we're challenged even more because we have to look at the historical context in which it was originally heard and the context it was written. So let's do this a little bit in Matthew in this troubling scripture. So I always ask myself, well, who are the players here in the story? And the players in this parable, and how would the ancient community understand it? Well, first there's a landowner, and that's someone who was in charge. Now remember, this writer knew that a landowner saying that in the scripture would indicate that that person would have land and children, preferably male children. And that was status. And they would have been in the upper class of society, those who made decisions about others' lives. They would have been the folk who had the big picture in mind. They knew their land. They knew their needs. Undoubtedly, the primary responsibility of a landowner was to maintain his land. Women didn't own land then. And they had to make sure the land was tended to, which required workers. Then there are those, the workers, the laborers. They tended the fields or the flocks or the family of the landowner. They were at the mercy of the landowners with little or no negotiating power. Most of the time just hoping to get a little bit of work. They were like any generation, a mixture of gifts and talents. Some were smart and some were strong. Some had great work ethics. Some were lazy. They were, no doubt, a variety of ages and gender and sexuality, even politics and religion. Their diversity, much like ours. And then finally, in this parable, there is the middleman, the manager, in charge of following the instructions of the landowner, specifically as it related to paying the laborers at the end of the day. So here they are in this story. A landowner needing workers, laborers available for work, and a manager serving as the gatekeeper at the direction of the landowner. Now for our purposes, we would be the laborers in this story. Available, whether we recognize it or not, for God's work. So you heard the story as Lynn read it. The landowner goes to the marketplace. But notice our scripture doesn't say what time he went. And after agreeing to pay the laborers a daily wage, a denarian, they went to work. Went back to the marketplace at 9, and key here saw others standing idle. He instructed them to go to the vineyard to work, and he promised to pay them what was right. Another key word. He did the same thing again at noon and at 3, but then at 5, he went to the marketplace and found still more laborers hanging around. And he asked them, why are you standing around idle all day? And after hearing that they were there because no one had hired them, he sent them to the vineyard as well. Now, I want to see if you noticed any small details surrounding these late hires, but I'll touch on that just here in a bit. At the end of the day, here we come. The landowner instructs the manager, go pay those guys. Bring them all back here and pay them. And then he instructed the manager to pay the one sent into the vineyard last. the ones that had not been hired all day until their landowner found them at 5, he said, pay them first. That should have been the first red flag. Wouldn't you think the ones that have been laboring the longest would get paid first? Fair? Not here. The manager pays those who had only been in the field an hour and the wage? A denarian, known by the ancient community to be the wage for a full day's work. Well, we can imagine the ones who'd been there all day. I can imagine how I'd feel. Wow! This is a good gig right here. Those folks were in only in an hour and got a full day's wages. I've been here, I don't know, maybe 10 hours. I'm going to get 10 days full of pay. You know, I'll be doing the math. It's going to be great. But then when the time came for them to be paid, they were not happy. The thing is, they were paid what they agreed to work for. A denarium. Yet they grumbled and complained. That isn't fair. You gave us the same thing you gave those folks, only worked 1 hour. Now, friends, I typically break down the Hebrew or the Greek depending on whether I'm preaching from the First Testament or the New Testament. And let me tell you, interpreted closely, the complaint of the early morning laborers was not about the money. It was about the superiority. For the Greek interpretation means, you have made them equal to us. You might recall that Matthew's gospel was intended for a mixed congregation that included both longtime Jewish Christians and others who were recent Gentile converts. And further, the value of denarian at this time would place all the laborers among the very poor. So there would have been those hearing this teaching that thought they were superior. It was not always kumbaya between the Jews and the Gentiles. They had very different ways of believing and worshiping. There is so much to this parable about who's in and who's out, what's fair and what's not, whose labors are useful and how that's measured. And we could give focus and spend a sermon on every character in this parable. To the early risers who spent the whole day working and now they felt unfairly compensated because their focus was to compare their wages to someone else rather than accept with gratitude the wages they were promised. We could focus on the manager who seemingly followed the landowner's instruction without offering any commentary. Did he agree to these new pay guidelines? Or was he blindly following the establishment in spite of what he believed to be fair? We could focus on the landowner. Hero to some, zero to others. That happens a lot, doesn't it? We go from hero to zero pretty quickly, depending on who's holding the measuring stick. To the last ones hired, the landowner was a hero. To the first ones hired, he was a zero. Unfair not because he failed to compensate the first hired what he promised them, but their unhappiness because they felt the landowner owed them more based on what he paid the ones who only worked an hour. If we can, for just a couple of minutes, let's give focus to those folks, the ones hired latest in the day. Imagine, if you will, how they must have felt. While the other laborers had worked in the vineyard in the heat, these laborers had spent the best of a full day in the same heat, waiting, hoping, wanting, to no avail. They, the poorest of the poor, were ignored and seen as having no purpose. Again, we must remember that in this ancient community where this story is in context, things were really in flux about Jesus. Most folks didn't buy into the Jesus movement. And for those that did, they were jockeying for who was in and who was out, for who was important to the cause and who was expendable. Sort of like, you know, we have snow that's coming up. I know you don't want to hear that. And you have, I love it, you have these things on the TV that say, if you're an essential personnel, and I always think, how does that make you feel if you're not one of those? So there was this jockeying about who was essential personnel and who could just sit it out for who should serve and who should be served. It was a real, real game of setting up this new religious hierarchy, which, by the way, was one of the things Jesus challenged over and over again. So in this jockeying for first place, they would have had a real issue with this message of diversity and equality. That's eerily similar, from my perspective, to how many Christians react today when those of us committed to social justice call for borders to be widened, health care to be expanded, different paths to the holy to be respected, and civil rights to be radically interpreted. These last laborers, perhaps they were rejected as if they'd been waiting in line to be picked on a team, only to find themselves picked last. And yet, they were treated the same as the stars of the vineyard fields. This example of God's radical inclusion, this idea that all are equally deserving of the gift of God's grace and love and mercy, that all are needed, that all are valued. My friends, the point here might well be that God does not will for anyone's life to be wasted, but instead for all gifts to be used to create God's vision for our world. So as the landowner, the one with the really big picture, remember the scripture started out, the kingdom of heaven is like this. God with this big picture extends the invitation indiscriminately and repeatedly in order to gather as many as possible in life's fields of hope and love, fields of justice and peace, fields of opportunity and value. God needs every single one of us, whether we got here early or whether we're going to come late. I get it. I get that our country's based on a capitalist society, on the premise that if you make the right decisions and work hard enough, then you should be able to take care of yourself. That's the age-old argument that we see played out in civic halls and legislative chambers all across our country. And yet, I would invite us as people of faith to listen and learn from this parable, which seems to me to be calling us to do what is right, not equal. And that is a difference we should pay attention to, and we should hold our leaders accountable for doing the same. Because here's the reality. God's economy of fairness, it ain't ours. Far from it. The lessons in Scripture, if we read them carefully, and if we're willing to really look at them, God turns the status quo on its head over and over again, giving lessons that the last shall be first, the first shall be last, that the latecomers to the journey of faith, this one's tough, they're going to enter the same eternity as the cradle believers who never professed doubt. That's tough. I've been at the bedside of folks who weren't very nice folks in their life. Diane, I'm sure you have been too. On their last hours out of the world. And they say, okay, help me pray. And you do. But is there just a little human part of you that says, darn, this life of faith was hard. And they get to go to the same attorney I do. And they had a big time in life. Friends, that's what this scripture's telling us. You see, God's hierarchy is opposite of the world's. And for those of us who find ourselves at the top of the society food chain, that ought to make us just a little nervous. And those of us who might find ourselves at the bottom of society's ladder, well, this story offers not just hope. It does offer hope, but not just hope. It's a call to get up and take our place. And that is at the heart of this story. We all need to take our place. To not allow the gifts of our diversity and the very, very precious gift of life to be idle. We're called to look at one another as God does. And to see not in this story a mistaken time clock, but a lesson of inclusion and a call to recommit ourselves to the work needed to ensure that no one is left out and no one's gifts are idle. And that journey, my friends, begins with each of us taking our place in the field. No matter when we got there or how we got there. But taking that place and bringing others along with us. Oh, back to that little detail. Now remember, they told the first ones nothing. They told the second ones, I'll give you a denarian. Then they went back, right? 2, 3, 5 during the day. And we're going to pay you what is right. What did they promise those who'd sit there all day just wanting to be included, wanting to work? What did they promise to pay them? Nothing. If you go back and read, the parable says that they simply said to them, get up, go to the field. They didn't know they'd be paid anything. But they got up and went. And they received more pay than they thought they would. See, I think that as we take our place in the fields of life, in a world that so desperately needs laborers, if we can resist focusing on the payoff and instead focus on the cause, I think the payoff will be more than we can imagine.
get to the field.